Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
Broadcasting from Resistance Headquarters, relentlessly fighting back against the clown dictator and his regime of deplorables.
Never give up, never surrender.
This is the Bob Zeska Show, presented by BubbleGenius.com.
Well, by George, look up yonder. Look what Rudolph's nose lit the way to. Yeah, the island of Nonay. Wahoo! Now, Rudy, so's old Eon don't see us coming. You better douse your nose, but keep that hope burning bright inside.
Okay, Big Ben.
Hey, what's that for?
Look at my clock.
11:30, New Year's Eve.
Zounds, gadzooks, and odd bodkins, we have but 1/2 hour.
We've got to be quick then. Come on, men, let's get happy.
Bob Zeska.
This is the Money Man, that's right, Eddie Money, wishing everybody a very happy holiday. That's a Merry Christmas, a Happy Hanukkah, and everybody have a safe and wonderful New Year.
The Bob Zeska Show.
Oh, please let this work. From our nation's capital, it is Thursday, December 31, 2020. This is the Bob Zeska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, what's up? My name is Bob. What's happening?
Hello, Bob.
Hello. Day 1,442 of the Trump crisis. 20 days until Inauguration Day. And holy God, we have a cast of thousands. Art Carney is here. Beatrice Arthur. TV's Harvey Korman. Diane Warren. And a performance by the Jefferson Starship. All right, let's
Star Wars on ice.
I know.
Let's bring everyone in. Okay, we're doing a it's our special FU to 2020 New Year's Eve special show here on the Bob Zeska Show.
And we brought the whole clown car.
Everyone is, the entire clown car is absolutely here. We have got...
Bob, would you like to introduce your friend?
Yeah, Dad, come on, listen to Dad.
That's a great way to start. Buzz Burbank is here, TV's Buzz Burbank from Buzz Burbank News and Comment, buzzburbank.com, also realmnetwork.com. Three more newscasts left to go. They are the final editions of Buzz Burbank News and Comment, so make sure to subscribe for the final three episodes, because I think they're going to be gigantic. I think they're going to be huge. Meanwhile, T-Rex David Ferguson is here from the T-Rex Report podcast, patreon.com/T-Rex Report, and... from the band Astral Summer, his band partner Dave Martin is also going to be performing here later on the show. We've got 1,000 people on the show today because Dave's son Ike is here too.
Ike, family of acrobats.
Can we fit more people in the room? I don't know. Also, who am I leaving out? Did I mention
but
Jody?
My partner.
Jody Hamilton from the Bunker podcast, from-the-bunker.com, also sexyliberal.com, and her partner, Sean Barton, also here today. Hi, Sean.
It's so sad.
No, it really is.
You know, we're the poor stepchildren all the way on the West Coast. That's what it is.
Welcome to public access.
I'm just amazed everything is working still, and I'm knocking on
all
the wood.
Don't say that. Now it's all going to fuck up. Jesus, Bob. Come
Thank
on.
Thank you for having us.
And of course, Rocky Mountain Mike from the Stephanie Miller Show is here.
Thank you.
And is Kimberly here? Is Kimberly all?
I don't
set
see
up?
Her.
Are you here?
She was scheduled to appear.
She's still getting, honey. She's still getting out of the fridge.
What the hell is
it
that?
It says here she's scheduled to appear.
Scheduled. So,
I hope she is.
Kimberly is officially protesting.
There we go.
There you go.
I had to plug in her headphones. That's a had to jump out there.
Yes,
okay,
here
so
I am.
Welcome. Yeah, there's Kimberly. Kimberly A. Johnson with the agenda of Man Aside. I forget. You know what? I forgot to play Buzz Burbank's jingle because I need any excuse to play it.
When you say Buzz Burbank, you've said it all.
Okay, now we can start. Now we've got everything in the can. We're ready to roll here. So I don't even know where to begin. I guess, you know, we could talk about politics a little bit, but who the hell wants to do that? I guess here's the main thing. If we're going to talk about politics, I guess the first topic we have to cover is will Trump pardon himself? We're going to get to a lot of the fun stuff here in just a second, because the last week and a half has been like its own 2020 compacted into just 10 or 13 days. So
I think that's a new category on Pornhub, self-pardoning.
The question is, I think he's going to do it. I think he's going to do it, and I think there are going to be legal challenges to that. And I think the ultimate question comes down to, does Trump pardon himself, and does the Supreme Court back him up on the self-pardon? And if they do, does that not make the president immune to basically everything? Like, you can just do whatever the hell he wants. Let's start, you know what? Let's start with Buzz Burbank. And what do you think, Buzz? Is Trump going to pardon himself? What's going to happen?
The only thing Trump needs more than money for his legal defense, and he's successfully raising that, is a pardon.
Yeah.
His best bet, really, would be to have to resign and have Pence do it. But I don't know. I think a self-pardon is possible. I don't know how probable it is. And in answer to the Supreme Court question, no, there's no way they're going to uphold that, even this Supreme Court. And based on recent rulings, this Supreme Court is not going to go along with that.
Right. Yeah. I tend to agree. I hope you're right. I desperately hope you're right on that.
Because I always hope I'm right.
Yeah. Kimberly just walked in. Let's go to Kimberly next. What do you think?
I'm an obvious constitutional scholar. So
I can't hear her.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You know what? Let me turn up her sound. All right,
on.
There.
Can you hear me now?
Kimberly, welcome.
I said that since I'm the obvious constitutional scholar here, I've got all the answers on what Trump's going to do.
Hey, wait, I have a Law and Order degree from Law and Order.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's true.
Yeah, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised. What Buzz was saying about Pence, it would be smarter for him to resign, step down, and then have Pence do it. But I don't think his ego could do that. So I don't think that's going to happen. And, you know, last night I was watching MSNBC and somebody was on talking about how no matter what, Cy Vance, they have forensic accountants that are basically have gone through Trump's money and what he does with it. And so whether or not he pardons himself, which I would assume that he probably will, you know, obviously that will be questioned, but he's going to have to deal with state criminal charges, period. So I think that's one of the things that I'm focusing on, because as far as him pardoning himself, it's going to be new territory and God only knows what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Where do we see forensic accountants? Is that on CSI Pricewaterhouse?
What do you think, Rocky?
Everyone would have thought that. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no. What do you think, Mike? Is he going to pardon himself?
You know, the thing is, Trump, his ego would make him want to pardon himself.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you're right, the Supreme Court would not go for it. But on the other hand, if it, and it's probably far too late in the game for this, but if somebody got to him and pointed out that he might actually lose part of his base if he tried that, that some people would say, okay, that's ridiculous. That's too far. That's the only thing I can think of.
Maybe he'll lose like three people, though.
That's so nice. Yeah. Mike.
They think liberals eat babies.
That's true.
Mike, that's really optimistic of you to think that some of his people would go, oh, wait a minute, now this is a bridge too far.
Yeah, that's the one. That's the one that did it.
We can hope, and we'll take everyone we can get.
That's true. Yeah, that's absolutely true. But I'm finding, man, they need to be burned by the fire. And we're seeing that now with all of these Republicans, especially Chris Christie, who were infected with it. And then finally, after they've got it, after they've been on a ventilator in the hospital, that's when they go, oh, you know what? Damn some it. I should have followed the rules. Oh, well, you know, what can you do? It's like, thanks. Thanks in advance for that.
I get it now.
I tell you, though, among the many things I'm never going to forgive 2024 yes. is making the words forensic accounting firm sound sexy.
Oh, hot. Downright hot.
Yeah, baby. Yeah.
What do you think, David? Is Trump going to pardon himself?
I think he'll try it. I think yeah. There's nothing that, there's no bottom. Like, every time yeah. we think he's hit bottom, he opens a trap door.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
I think he will try it, but I think that's going to set up a big fuss, a big constitutional crisis.
Yeah, yeah.
A to-do, even.
Yeah, it would.
Yeah.
A hubbub.
Jody, what do you say?
Brouhaha.
A kerfuffle.
That, too.
What do you think, Jody? You're obviously the Law and Order scholar.
Law and Order scholar.
I am. I have that. And then I'll defer to Legs. You know, I do. I have a BA in Law and Order and an MBA in Law and Order Special Victims Unit and a PhD in Law and Order. I got them all, man. I got them all.
Yeah.
I think all he'll say is pardon me, and that's done. He's done.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah. You know, I mean,
He's so, I mean, it would be smart for him to just on my birthday, mm-hmm. to resign. Yeah. And then that would be January 18th. And
let me write that down. Write that down. Yeah,
don't fucking forget, Bob. Yeah.
Are you fixed up with Omaha Steaks, Jody?
You need some Plexiderm?
Plexiderm. Jody wants Plexiderm.
It wakes, babies. No, I think that he'll resign maybe on the 18th or 19th to get the pardon. And then that'll be it. And then Biden will be our 47th
really think
president.
He'll resign and make Pence number one even for 2 days?
To get out of half of the problems that he's in? Yeah.
I think of Pence more as a number two.
Yeah, that's true.
That's why the fly couldn't get enough of him.
And let's see what Legs has to say, because he has stuff written down because he's very smart.
Okay, well, Sean Legs.
Yes. It was my understanding that Nixon tried to do the very same thing, and right. then the Department of Justice stepped in and said, no, you can't pardon yourself.
Oh, so, really?
Did they really? So,
there is actually a memo. That's
yeah.
correct. Yeah.
yeah. So,
but this is a different.
Did you get the memo?
I think. I think he'll try, and then he'll get smacked down.
Hmm. Yeah.
And having Pence step in and do it for him, I think that Trump has smacked around Pence the last, you know, 2 or 3 weeks enough that I don't know would Pence actually sit there and say, you know, you're going to put me in power. And now you want a pardon?
Right.
I say, yeah.
And then Biden becomes the 47th president.
Yeah.
That's true.
Well,
that's
but true. Pence is like, because, you know, everybody gets on his ass for being, you know, sniveling servitude is what Steve Schmidt said. Well, that was because it served him. Yeah. He wants to be the president. Mm-hmm. Plus, he's an evangelical who believes God thinks he should be president. So I think that his loyalty is not toward Donald. It's toward himself and God.
Yeah.
And so I don't know that he would, at this 11th hour, 11:59.
And God's not returning his calls.
Yeah, really. And
my like, kind of God.
At this 11:59 hour, would he say, okay, well, I'm going to kiss Donald's ass for what? How does that serve him?
Yeah,
you're right.
And it's going to hurt him. It's going to hurt him when he runs for president in 2024.
Well, and also,
I see him as being so craven that he won't risk pissing off Trump's base. He will,
He's got to survive afterward, though. And we're already getting indications of how we can expect Pence to behave on January 6th when he presides over those objections.
Right.
You know, all of this can only help Beck Bennett.
Right. You're right.
That's all that matters.
That's how we should look at everything. How does this help Beck Bennett?
Yeah. And by the way, the very mention of Beck Bennett, Kimberly's panties have just flown off.
Oh, dear.
Flown across the. They almost hit me in the back of the head. It was really an ugly scene.
I don't even know
here.
Who Beck Bennett is.
I know how to talk
Beck
dirty.
Bennett is on Saturday Night Live. He plays Putin.
Yeah, he plays
so
Putin.
And he plays VP Pence.
Yeah.
And many other roles.
Eric Trump.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's fantastic.
My name's Eric.
But Kimberly went right to Putin because he doesn't have his shirt on.
Right, exactly.
Oh, yeah. By the way, speaking of Eric Trump, we know this tape. We used to play this tape maybe 6 months ago. Eric Trump's weird voice. Something happened to Eric Trump's voice on Fox News Channel. It just got really weird for a second. I'll play that for a second. I've got a point to this because Donald Trump Jr.'s voice got really weird as well. I got to play that tape. But first, we're going to set up with Eric Trump.
And John Kerry's stepson.
They're buying access. It is so clear. There's not an American who would think otherwise. Hey, Sean, the median income in this country...
Jody, do your impression of that, because it is so good.
Hey, Sean, you know, I'm not sure that this is right.
He's shrinking.
He sounds like a munchkin.
Well, the same thing happened to Donald Trump Jr.
He represents the lollipop girl.
Was that me and Mike singing together?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, see, it's meant to be.
The same thing happened to Donald Trump Jr. He apparently also a member of the Lollipop Guild, because his voice, but I, you know, Eric's
and
just
he is most sincerely dead.
Eric's voice is just weird. I think Donald Trump Jr.'s voice is on cocaine. We'll hear this.
Yeah.
We
oh, yeah.
Indians are working on changing their name to satisfy, you know, the two protesters that show up on opening day every year.
Okay, normal right there. You hear it? Yes. It's completely really? Normal. Yeah. And then it gets weird.
I mean, what is going on here, folks? I mean, think about that. The Cleveland Indians, they've had the name for 100-something years.
What the hell is that?
I don't know something years.
Jerry Lewis.
Yeah, I know.
Wait, wow. you can hear a nasality, even in the part you called normal. You hear right. a nasality there that yeah. that says cocaine, screams cocaine.
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 Oh, my God. Just so
that's how. That's how I remember back in the I don't know, late 80s, early 90s, the people that I worked with at the department store made fun of George Father Bush for calling it crack cocaine.
Cocaine.
crack cocaine.
Yeah. We're always talking about how 2020 sucks, and we're trying to move.
Bad.
Yeah, we're trying to move past 2020, and there are a lot of things that make it really, really awful. And there's obviously no doubt about that. No one disputes that 2020 was a giant suckfest. But there was a there's an app called Bloom. It's a self-therapy app, and it recently asked 28 historians from Yale, Oxford, Stanford, and other major universities to choose the worst year in history to determine whether or not 2020 was, in fact, the worst year. But it turns out that it is not.
Was it 1620?
Really? Yeah. Well, British historian Philip Parker led the effort following a depressing dive down the rabbit hole of historical misery.
Poor people.
Parker compiled a list of the top worst, most stressful years in world British and U.S. history. Then the historians made their picks. The worst year in world history wasn't even a close contest. The worst year was... For those of you who remember way back to 1348.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I remember
oh that's
that.
Not
oh,
fair.
No. That's not nice.
And tonight I'm going to party like it's 1349.
Yeah. When Joe Biden was first sworn in to Congress.
Okay.
That's when Larry King started on the mutual note.
Right. Yeah. I wish they had ranked it over the last 200 years.
Yes.
Instead of, you know, all of history.
I think the Big Bang was a bad year because everything bad followed that.
True. I think you
think of the end. Things were made worse, though, in 1348 when King John of England gave everybody 6/10 of a bucket of warm spit stimulus instead of a...
Here was the wonderful year 1348, those of you who remember. The height of the Black Death, during which as many as 200 million people died. That'd be like wiping out 65% of the U.S. population. The Holocaust in 1944 ranked second, followed by 1816, when a volcano eruption in Indonesia blocked out the sun, starving millions. 2020 ranked sixth.
Wow. Well, wow. Look.
Yeah, but Bob, I couldn't get a haircut.
We're still in the top 10. Yeah, I know,
right? It's still in the top 10.
It is in the top 10.
Year,
yes, and considering the number of years there are there are lots and lots of years to choose from.
And the Black Plague went on for, what, 30 years or whatever it was? You know?
Yes. I mean, it's like the way they're doing this, they're going, well, 2020 was really only sixth place. My God. You whiners. Why are you
That's
whining?
So, Bob, I'd like to give my...
In 1348. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Mike.
I'd like to give my salute to 2020 real quick.
Okay.
Goodbye, 2020. You tempestuous year. You took away thousands of folks we held dear. You came in like a lamb, almost sleepy and dormant, and left as a bee killed by a murder hornet. Our budget turned red like the nose of Rudolph, cause Trump ignored COVID while he rallied and golfed. You took away Marianne of Gilligan fame, Charlie Pride, Chuck Yeager, Tulsa fan Herman Cain. And although you have wrecked us with illness and grief, you gave us Joe Biden, which was quite a relief. So goodbye, 2020. Of you, I won't fear, because I hear 21 is going to be a good year.
Yeah. 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 Oh, my gosh.
Oh, an unexpected.
Yeah.
A nice homage to Pete Townsend at the
I did
end
that
there.
While I was checking my levels. So.
I'm not crying, you're crying.
Yeah. You know, yeah. I just want to say, though.
It will.
Remember when everybody was like, fuck you, 2016, so long. What did we get? Donald Trump is president.
Right. Yeah. Well, that was a bad year because Trump got elected and we were all right. Pretty. I remember being in a fetal position New Year's
I know that
year. Yeah. And we were right. Our fears came to fruition.
Yeah, just all the
well,
shit.
Well, I didn't
just
end
began.
Up in a re-education camp for journalists, so I kind of
any year that win. Starts with God taking out David Bowie is going to be.
Oh,
bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
And by the way, David, we still got 20 days before that motherfucker is.
Exactly.
Out.
Yeah.
So you could still be put in that camp for journalists. There's still time.
That's true.
Yeah, don't get happy, David.
I'm not a journalist anymore.
glass half full, we can count on the number of fingers and toes we have, the number of days he has left. In fact, you could even be missing a digit at this point. Now that it's New Year's Eve, we're past 12:01 p.m.,
exactly.
Now there are just 19 days
And guess
left.
What, guess what, guess what? Kamala Harris is going to be the vice president.
Yeah, that's a big fucking deal.
Yeah, you know, when they put Buzz into the camp, he's going to get a gold watch to go with it.
Is Christopher Walken going to bring it to you?
Yeah, I mean,
I carry
Mike,
this watch up my ass.
Mike, you named a few of the celebrities we lost in 2020, and it was a horrendous year for celebrity deaths. I mean, I jotted down a few of them before the show. I mean, you mentioned Don Wells, who we lost yesterday to COVID, 82 years old, same age as my dad, which is scary as hell. We, of course, one of the biggest deaths of 2020 was RBG, Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
God,
and
that was awful.
And couldn't have happened at a worse time. Yeah. I mean, just the timing was just utterly horrendous for so many different reasons. The one that I still can't fully accept, Eddie Van Halen. I cannot believe that Eddie Van Halen is gone. You imagine these guys as almost invincible, like cockroaches who can survive the apocalypse. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
we still have Keith Richards. Damn it.
Mine was John Prine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. John Prine. Yes.
Chadwick Boseman.
Right. Neil Peart from Rush. Mm-hmm. We lost at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
Regis Philbin, Kobe Bryant. You mentioned Chadwick Boseman, Jody. Sean Connery, Wilford Brimley.
Lyle Waggoner.
Anyone turning 53 next year? Who's going to celebrate the Wilford Brimley birthday in the coming?
Yes, I am.
Kimberly's going to be Wilford Brimley's age from.
Can we just have a list of all the famous people who died that Jody knows?
Hollywood. Jody knows everyone in Hollywood. She's gonna tell us about chance encounters, with all the great big stars. Okay, anyway, that's my Jody song.
You know what? I should have been playing that music anyway if we're doing celebrity deaths, but it's too peppy for In Memoriam.
Too happy.
This doesn't work for In Memoriam.
No, put on Funeral for a Friend by Elton John.
There you go.
Yeah, no. There you go. We also lost Little Richard, Carl Reiner, David Lander over the break, Squiggy from Laverne and Shirley. Yeah. Also, one of the great roles that you don't really think about too often, but in A League of Their Own, David Lander was the baseball announcer and no one said, "Oh, doctor," better than David Lander. You know, the old timey colloquialism, "Oh, doctor," reacting to something. Max von Sydow. We lost Max von Sydow.
Sydow.
Okay. Thank you very much.
It was he died of mispronunciation.
In 1975, I had my first full-time radio job. And I had to do an ad for a commercial for a movie that Max von Sydow was in.
The Exorcist.
It was some little known movie, but so I started right off with the Sydow thing, and got corrected right away. So
oh man,
Max von Sydow.
Let's see who else here. Kirk Douglas.
Terry Jones of Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Yeah. Terry Jones. Fred Willard. Yeah.
Oh my God.
That Fred Willard.
Yeah.
That was hard.
Hey,
that was tough.
Yeah. Just such an amazingly funny man. Fred Willard. I played a clip on the show a while back. If you haven't seen it, go watch I think it was his last movie. He did Mascots with Christopher Guest for Netflix. I cannot recommend that strongly enough. There is a scene with Fred Willard and a performer in this show that they're doing with mascots, with sports mascots. And one of the performers is a dwarf. Now, you can imagine Fred Willard in a green room sitting across a table from a dwarf and the questions that he will ask this dwarf. It is one of the funniest scenes I've ever seen.
I just want to see the meeting where they pitched that.
That's right. Let's see who else. Jerry Stiller. Jerry Stiller, just a giant in comedy. Yeah. James Lipton, who was...
He was scrumptrolescent.
From inside the Crisis Actors Studio.
That's right. Let's see. Oh, my God. Jody Hamilton. Lyle Wagner. We lost Lyle Wagner this year.
I remember the day that he died. My mom called me, and I'd only talked to her the day before, and she left a message on my... I have a machine on my machine.
Wow.
That's with
so
a cassette.
20th century. I know.
This is Jim Rockford.
Right.
Yeah, but she left a message to call, and I thought actually it was going to be another person that we know he's still with us, but I thought it was going to be another person. Because as soon as I heard her voice, I'm like, somebody died.
Yeah.
And I picked up the phone and I called her back, and she said it was Lyle, and nope, it came out of nowhere. We didn't even know he was that sick.
Yeah.
Because we only saw him 6 months before at Conway's service.
You know, he was so handsome, but he was so funny, too.
He was immensely great on that show. And by the way, to those of you joining us for the first time, Jody Hamilton's mom is Carol Burnett. Thank you very much. And now everyone's microphone is off.
What the fuck?
We just lost everybody.
Hi, 2020. What a way.
Except Kimberly's here.
It's so 2020.
I know. Let's just do a show without them. Now we can talk about them all behind their backs.
Jokes for me. I'll pay you.
And now they're all back. Everyone's back.
I owe everything to Maury in Amsterdam.
Just FYI, everybody, you all went offline.
And now you're back.
Now you're back.
No.
So whatever you were saying was gone.
We were all here.
You were all there, and we were gone.
We were laughing at you and making fun of you.
That's right. We did for you.
We did that too.
Well, let's see. We also lost everybody's feed. That's another item in the in memoriam.
In memoriam. The way we were.
It was so young.
In memoriam, my technologies. We also lost David Prowse. First of all, trained Christopher Reeve for the original Superman movie. It was also Darth Vader from a little movie called Star Wars. And let's see who else. Alex Trebek. I think
that was so sad.
Okay, you know what? We're gonna do a song. We're gonna do a song by David Ferguson. And Astral Summer, I'm really, really looking forward to this. Are you ready, David? Dave, are you ready to do this?
We're going to do two songs for you. I have to take the headphones off so I can hear myself sing, so I won't be able to respond if you heckle me.
Okay, good.
Okay, everybody heckle.
Right.
And we're going to play Waiting for the World to End, and then we're going to play a new song called Sad Season.
Okay, great.
All right,
backing up from the mic here. Ready? Got big trouble over yonder. Got big trouble here at home. You know these hard times make me wonder how much longer we can go on. We got missiles from Korea, mutant gonorrhea, the new coronavirus, terrorists in ISIS, nuclear destruction, volcanic eruptions, the heat death of the sun. Well, I guess we had a pretty good run, but now we're waiting for the world to end.
all just waiting, waiting for the world to end. Florida's full of anacondas. They got turned loose in a hurricane. Got people shooting at first responders. The divided states is our real name. We turn victims into villains when racist cops are killing. Got poison in the oceans, can't access our emotions. We can't act our ages or earn no living wages. It's killing everyone. So hope somehow you had a little fun. Now we're waiting, waiting for the world to end. We're all just waiting, waiting on the world to end. Lightning comes a thunder. After pride always comes a fall. You know that I can't help but wonder if the world would be better without us all. We've got rank disinformation, mass incarceration, congressional obstruction, CIA abductions, when nothing is outrageous, but babies locked in cages. Well, goodbye everyone. I hope somehow you had a little fun. Cause now we're waiting, waiting on the world to end. We're all just waiting, waiting on the world to end. Yeah, we're waiting, waiting on the world to end. We're all just waiting, waiting on the world to end. Yeah.
All right.
That was great.
David Ferguson, Dave F. Martin, Astral Summer, right here. Holy shit. And that song was originally conceived during a technical glitch on this show. So wow. It's appropriate that we had one right before you guys started playing. It's like,
I'm so glad.
It's like poetry. It rhymes.
Before you leave, don't know when I'm gonna see you again. I've got this awful feeling we're all gonna be reeling by day's end. There are warnings on the wind this morning. We can't stop what's coming. We're in for a sad season. There's not a single good reason. We're all gonna take a beating before the end of this sad season. We were still dancing when the music stopped, when the hammer dropped. It was time to leave. We left our bodies on the floor. There wasn't time to do more. Some things you just have to see to believe. We had warnings that a storm was coming. We overestimated our strength and cunning. We're in for a sad season. And there's not a single good reason. We're all gonna take a beating before the end of this sad season. I can hear their galaxies ringing, people calling for the dead and fleeing.
we'd be better off with sentient machines. But it's our flaws that make us human beings. We're in for a sad season. There's not a single good reason. We're all gonna take a beating before the end of this sad season. Kiss me before you leave. Don't know when I'm gonna see you again.
All right.
Wow.
Astral Summer Sad Season, available now. AstralSummer.bandcamp.com. Holy shit. Thank you, Dave and Dave. Oh, my God. That
thank
was so
you.
Good.
I'm going to walk these guys out, and I will be right back.
Okay. Sounds good.
Thank
you. You guys really missed it. Ike's interpretive dancing was absolutely amazing.
All right.
Watch the tremolo video. Back to the Guitar Center rep.
That's right.
All right. I'll be back in a minute.
All right. Holy shit. Well, that was really good. That was just an amazing couple of songs there from, I mean, he would do this. He would just send me little clips of things that he was working on via text. I said, Bob, what do you think of this? I'd say, oh my God, you've got to play that on the show. Holy shit.
Yeah. Wanting to hear his music live is one of the reasons I absolutely made it a point to be here today. I'm really glad he did that. I was really excited about that.
Well, excellent. Well,
I was hoping he'd play something from the new album so I could go to the bathroom.
Well, you know, speaking of which, you know, one of the things that we have encountered here during 2020 is apparently the rise of something called super gonorrhea. We were
fantastic.
Apparently treated to that. Although, you know, Kimberly,
is that DC? Or?
Of course, he brings me up now.
Yes, as soon as I bring up
Joni.
On the topic of super gonorrhea, Kimberly, any thoughts?
Is super gonorrhea DC or Marvel?
Super gonorrhea. Wait, no, I can't. Never mind. Ignore me. Okay.
But, you know, we did, Kimberly and I first reported on super gonorrhea back on the March 30th, 2018 after party. That's when I knew that this story had come up before, and I had to go back to 2018 to find it. Yeah, but
super gonorrhea,
I guess.
Gonorrhea 84 was a dark
period. It was. Hey.
Historian.
Super gonorrhea espialidocious.
What was that, Buzz?
I just, you know, historians rank this as only the sixth worst year for super gonorrhea.
Oh, well, that's good. At least there's that. But yeah, along those lines, we have a brand new song from Rocky Mountain Mike.
All right.
Woo-hoo! Super gonorrhea.
Sing along.
I had a date with that super gonorrhea. I got the bad news and it hurt my eyes. I asked them for the test results and they obliged me. Was I surprised? Yeah. I'm positive. No. I heard about this thing, the super gonorrhea. It makes me more afraid to go outside. I beg for you to keep it far away from me. Somewhere a person is weeping. I'm sure I won't go there. Won't go there. I won't go there.
Right, you're right.
Based on the 1966 hit Pretty Ballerina by The Left Bank, whose big song was Walk Away Renee.
Yes.
Awesome. Now, on with the countdown.
Nicely done. Nicely done, as usual.
Really, really damn funny. Yes.
You guys ever heard Ricky Lee Jones' version of Walk Away Renee?
I love that version of it. No, I love that version of that song. Oh, my God.
You know, The Left Bank actually tours.
Today.
Yes,
wow.
Yes.
County Holy fairs.
When I was on the radio, I used to call them the Occupied Left Bank.
Well, you know, one of the things that we had planned to do on today's show was to do a little bit of an Ask Us Anything, and I put out the word on Patreon, and we received thousands and thousands of questions. Not exactly thousands, but, you know, about 60. We got about 60 questions.
That's enough.
Yeah. Let's see. You know what? This is one we're going to have to kind of go around McLaughlin Group style. It's like a one-word answer.
Wrong!
First question.
Who is your favorite Beatle?
Eleanor G. I think you're Swellador.
They were all equally fab.
Morton Kondracki.
Anyone else? Kimberly, do you have a John McLaughlin impression you'd like to translate?
I know.
Thank you.
Let's start with Kimberly. This is a question from Christopher Ellis. What was your favorite television show of the year? I think I may know the answer to this.
Cobra Kai.
All right.
Cobra Kai.
Yeah, we're busily rewatching the first two seasons in preparation for the season premiere happening on Friday, tomorrow.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, see? So we, right away to look forward to about 2021, Cobra Kai.
I'm with Obama on that one. Better Call Saul.
Okay. Mike says Better Call Saul. Buzz, what do you think?
Favorite show of the year have to be Schitt's Creek, and I realize I'm behind the curve on that, but it's still my favorite show of the year.
There you go. Good, well, not a bad choice. Yeah, perfect choice. 10, yeah. We're watching that one through again. I think we just finished season one. Cool. That's all we've been doing.
Time. Yeah, exactly. Season 3, episode 3, New Car. Funniest episode in the entire series.
Yes. Oh, my God. It's so good. Let's see, Jody Hamilton, what was your favorite show, your favorite television show of the year?
I watch all of them.
I know.
I watch television. It's what I do. Yeah. I like television, so I watch it. Old episodes of the Carol Burnett Show.
Oh, there you go.
That's everybody's perennial favorite.
What about you, Sean?
For Jody, that's home movies.
Yes. It kind of is. No, Sean would know what I like.
Yeah. Sean Barton, what's your favorite?
Yeah. I write for TV and for shows that aren't on the air.
Which one is your favorite?
My favorite, I'd have to say, is Afterlife and Insecure.
Afterlife is great.
I haven't seen Ricky Gervais. Ricky Gervais. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that was fantastic. Yeah. And I just discovered Future Man, which is hilarious on Hulu. Love that show.
And what about you, David T-Rex Ferguson, your favorite television show of the year? Do you even have a TV? I never hear you talk about TV.
Of course I do.
Oh, okay.
Well, aside from Nicole Wallace every day at 4.
Good answer.
Good. I love her. I want to be her
friend.
Yeah,
she's awesome.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
But as far as things I watched for entertainment this year, I think that there's a Russian series called To the Lake. It's about a post-apocalyptic kind of thing, and the leading guy is so fine.
That's all that matters.
Yeah. There's a bullet removal scene at one point where he's got his shirt off that I felt very funny afterwards. But
nothing says a laugh a minute like Russians and the apocalypse.
Totally.
Nuclear devastation.
Have you heard his songs? They're so uplifting.
I know. So good. Russia in winter. Fun.
Wow.
Yeah. I lived there in winter. So
okay, Catherine. Catherine Zinn has a question for Buzz. You have.
Wait. Before we leave TV, we have to mention the Queen's Gambit. We can't.
Yes.
Oh, Queen's Gambit.
God.
Well, yes.
Oh, that was really good.
You know what? Hold your thoughts on Queen's Gambit. We're going to get to that because there's a question that involves a bunch of answers from me. So, and in that bunch of answers will be the Queen's Gambit. So we will spend some time on the Queen's Gambit. Buzz, mentioned that in all your years doing the news, this had to be one of the strangest years ever. Is there one story in particular that stands out to you out of all the weirdness? This is again from Catherine Zinn on our Patreon page.
Well, for a shorter period of time, but much more intensely, of course, 9/11. 9/11 is the grim centerpiece of my time in journalism. This comes pretty close. This has been, these last 4 years, especially the last couple of years, have been particularly dark, and they've gotten more so, and in that sort of dark ages way. And so that, I think that's significant as well. Mm-hmm. Those are the standouts, but 9/11 still has to be the centerpiece.
Yeah.
I was in Manhattan when that happened involved in live coverage.
Wow.
I was cursed or fortunate enough to do the only live talk show about that that was carried in both New York and D.C. and a few other stations around the country. But it was the first really opportunity for people to talk seriously about what had just happened. Prior to that, it had just been a week of covering the news.
Let's see. Let's go to Jody. Another question from Catherine Zen. Jody, you did a great job singing for Rocky Mountain Mike this year. Can we expect any future collaborations?
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike.
That's a question for Mike, not Jody.
That's not a question for me. That's a question for Mike. I would love to if he wants me to. And the only reason I sounded good was because
we'll
of
call
him.
You.
It was because of him and Mary. It was because of him and Mary that I sounded so good. So
his people will call your people.
Exactly. We'll have his people call my people, and
they'll
then my people.
Lunch.
We'll do lunch, and we'll take a meeting. It'll be fine.
Would you leave your tape with the woman there?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Let's see. One question for T-Rex from Catherine Zinn's got a bunch of questions. She's got one for everybody. T-Rex, based on your observations living in Georgia, what is your take on the runoff election? Do the Democrats stand a chance of taking both seats? T-Rex.
They do.
They do.
I think they really do.
Yeah, I think they do.
The enthusiasm is all on the Democratic side in Georgia right now. The Republicans are dispirited, and a bunch of them are now convinced that the voting is rigged and they don't want to vote now.
Good.
Yeah.
Which is fine with me. I'm like, yeah, I donated to that organization, actually. I sent them $20. The people who were like, no, vote, don't vote, it's rigged. So I mean, we could not ask for two more charismaless villains than David Perdue and Kelly Loeffler.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, they're just awful, awful people. And and Ossoff and Warnock are really, I feel like they're cut from that similar sort of Obama mold of these progressive politicians for a new era.
Well, let's see. Next question from Christina. She says, is there a best thing for each of you for this year? And I wrote a list of my five best things. These are we always talk about how terrible 2020 was, but there were a few things that were actually okay that made the year much, much better. In my list, we'll start with number five, The Queen's Gambit, Rocky Mountain Mike, yes.
Yeah.
Queen's Gambit, an amazing miniseries. One of my favorites of all time, I think. I didn't expect to love it as much as I did. But I think there was something about how it didn't necessarily take any cheap shots. Mm-hmm. And I think we see a lot of television now, and it's still good television. There's still a lot of television out there, though, that really pushes the envelope. Like, right now we're watching Your Honor and not...
Oh, I love that. and my God, I love that.
Trying to force our way through the endless avalanche of madness on that show and tragedy.
It's insanity.
Yeah.
It's insanity.
But with The Queen's Gambit, it was really one of those miniseries where you didn't feel like you were being sucker punched by the writers and producers of the show. Mm-hmm. It really felt like it was a fair story to tell, and a compelling one and an exciting one. I mean, they actually made chess immensely exciting to watch, even if you don't fully understand it. That was the thing I was noticing, is that a lot of people were saying, I love that, and I have no idea how chess works.
Mm-hmm. It really made me really get into hallucinating chess.
Number four, these are my best things about 2020. Number four, I didn't have to go anywhere. And that is also one of my worst things about 2020. So there's an upside to not having to go anywhere, and a big, big downside of not having to go anywhere. So I would still put half of that on my list. Number three, The Mandalorian Season 2.
Yay!
Yeah. Which, holy fucking shit. Those of you who
is there a way to watch that without Disney Plus? Because I still don't have Disney Plus, and I don't particularly want it.
Well, the only way to watch it then is to steal it, David. Right. And I'm not advocating
you can get
that.
Get it on Disney Plus.
That's right. Yeah, it's on a streaming channel that's spelled vaguely like Disney, but it's not actually Disney.
It's Disney Super Plus.
Oh, wow. But oh my God, the season finale of season two of The Mandalorian elevated that show. It was already a phenomenal show, but the ending of season two elevated it to a whole new level. It's somewhere.
I gotta disagree with you on that. I think the two episodes leading up to the finale were better, but I understand what you're saying. I know why you're giving it that. But and then the teaser for the Boba Fett thing.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Should I mention spoilers here? I probably should have, because there are still some people. It's been a couple of weeks now, but there are still people who haven't seen it yet. And so I'm not going to get into too many details, but Mark Hamill is in the culmination, in the climax of that season two finale. And it's one of the greatest things I've ever seen in my life, at least cinematically. As a Star Wars nerd, it doesn't get any better than that. So hats off to Mandalorian Season 2. Jon Favreau, Dave Filoni are doing such an incredible goddamn job with that show. I mean, beyond anything that we could have ever possibly imagined to see as far as a Star Wars franchise goes.
I'm sorry, I don't want to interrupt, but you know, when I'm watching, talking about Favreau,
yeah.
When I watch it, I go, they made this way better than it even needed to be, you know?
Yeah.
And that makes me think, that shows you that they really love this.
Right, right. Know? And I was watching the first episode of season two last night. I rewatched the Marshall episode with Timothy Oliphant playing the Marshall of that town. And the scene where the crate dragon appears at the top of the mountain, God, it's the craziest thing I've ever seen in a movie. I mean, very damn close to the craziest thing I've ever seen in a movie. And it was one of those, almost like a Godzilla film. And when you find out that Dave Filoni is really into Godzilla movies, you go, oh, okay, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. All right, I could spend the next 3 hours talking about that. Number two, our frontline workers and medical experts, we have to mention the Herculean job these people have done. Against all odds, against a gigantic movement of 70, 74 million people who are like, fuck all that shit. They're against us. They're profiting off of the pandemic. And they went to their jobs every day, some of them staying at work for extended periods of time, and putting in maximum effort through all of that. These are the real heroes. As much as Trump likes to think that he's the big hero of everything every year in the history of civilization, these are the real heroes, and especially the medical experts who put together the vaccine in such record time. And we're all immensely grateful for that, because there's one bright spot to this horrendous pandemic that didn't have to be as bad as it is. It is the efforts that they went through, the sacrifice that these frontline workers went through, especially in places like Southern California, New York City, and so on. Just immense. And number one, the best thing about 2020 is election. Election 2020.
Yeah.
Trump lost. We elected a woman of color as vice president. Mm-hmm. Massive voter turnout. And and just everything we wanted. I mean, we came up a little short on the congressional races, but you can't
state
have
races.
Everything, I guess. Yeah, yeah.
Right, right.
And I have one honorable mention on the list. I don't know where this would have gone on the list anyway, but I just ran out of numbers. I should have made it six, because I didn't want to forget this guy.
Bulk parade.
Oh, yeah.
Looking for directions to the bulk parade. Gonna get a sunburn standing out here all day. Trying to get a ticket for the bulk parade.
I appreciate
that. That's Nick Lutzko, the great Nick Lutzko, who we just discovered this past year. His Boat Parade song and his Dan Bongino song. It is immensely weird. He's created this whole universe of characters. He lost me a little bit on one of his latest bits, which is something about gremlins and someone named Desmond and a dance that he does. I have no idea what any of that is. So I just,
let's hope in 2021 there are 40% fewer boat rallies.
I like the boat rallies. The fact that the huge boats went steaming by and capsized everybody in the little boats. I mean, that's just, that's entertainment right there. That's comedy gold.
The tiny ship was lost.
Okay, let's see what else here on the list. Oh, here's a question for T-Rex from Jerry Hillman. If you had the chance to jam with any musician or band, past or present, who would you like to collaborate with?
Oh, wow. That's a lot. I've always wanted to sing with Annie Lennox.
Oh, wow.
Oh, that'd be a great combination. Yeah.
That's a sweet dream there.
Yeah.
Turns out that she's like, we are distantly related, apparently. My stepmom, the genealogist. Yeah, Annie Lennox's mother's maiden name.
Do you bang your fist on a table a lot?
Yep, I do. Wearing an orange crew cut. Yeah, her mother's maiden name was Ferguson. It's the same Fergusons that came.
Wow.
Wow.
Which is funny, because I remember the very first time I heard her voice, I was electrified. Yeah. I was like 13 years old, sitting on my bed, and I heard Sweet Dreams and was like, okay, everything's changed in a minute. So her, I mean, God, there's like Tom Morello is amazing.
Oh, yeah. I love Tommy.
and he could, like, I mean, he could write guitar parts for Air Raid Sirens if he had to. I mean, he's just like,
how about
so
musician Lonnie Paul? You could.
I've already collaborated with Lonnie. He mastered our record.
Oh yeah, that's right. Holy shit, I forgot about that. Oh my god.
Can we ask Mike who he'd like to collaborate with?
Yes, Mike.
I'm not worthy, but Peter Gabriel.
Oh, wow.
Ah, a good choice. Yeah. An excellent choice.
Oh, shit,
I'd like to collaborate with Rocky Mountain Mike.
Thank you so much for doing that. That was just freaking awesome.
Thank you for letting me.
Jody. Ages ago, Mike, I had this idea to do, like, Come On Eileen as COVID-19. Like, come COVID-19 all over my jeans.
Out. I'm sorry. I'm losing you guys.
Yep, everybody was like, don't do that, David. Mike doesn't like it. I was like, what if I write the lyrics? I'll even sing it.
No.
Are you going to be disappointed if I tell you that, like, at least two other people made that suggestion this year?
No. It was months ago. I was first.
By the way, Mike, your Twitter etiquette is starting to rub off on me. I've just taken to yelling at people on Twitter. Just random people.
Yeah. Who I have this photography website, right? And I get these emails to it from my form on the website, and most of them are spam, you know. Mm. And one got through the spam filter today. I was like, oh, man, one of them made it through. Oh, it's more spam. And then I looked, and it was someone with song lyrics.
Of course. It is spam.
But that just means that you're so good and everybody wants to be a piece of it, you know?
That's right.
Oh, exactly. That's,
you know, I have to keep that attitude about it.
That's right. It's a compliment.
Yes, it is.
Adam's Family Pinball is the name of a Patreon subscriber here. When can I expect availability of the Washington Buzz Burbanks jerseys? That's for
Buzz. Just not the Washington Tubmans.
That would be better.
That's Charlie Pierce's joke.
That would be better, though.
That's a good Charlie Pierce joke.
Yeah, they're in the mail.
Okay, let's see. Bob, who would be your dream interviewee? And
I know, Geddy Lee.
Geddy Lee, yeah, there you go. Good answer, Jody. Thank you. That would be it.
Yeah, mine would be Kathy Griffin. So Kimberly, you know.
Kimberly's already interviewed Kathy Griffin, yeah.
Yes, that's right. Yes.
And Kimberly's also interviewed Geddy Lee somehow. I don't know how that worked out. But yeah, either Geddy Lee or Mark Hamill. I think either of them would be at the top of my list.
Nerd.
I have so many questions for Mark Hamill.
I'm going to try to fulfill this year by visualizing it and assuming that it will be, but I'd love to interview Don Cheadle.
Oh yeah.
Don Cheadle. Okay, cool. And you also, didn't you ask...
Yeah, I asked Peter Frampton. He read my request. I haven't heard from him. But I will say, when I asked Kathy Griffin, months went by, and I hadn't heard from her, so I just assumed, and I couldn't tell if she had read the request.
When Peter Frampton writes back, it'll be, no, I can't do that.
I mean, I don't necessarily expect
him to.
I don't expect him to, but A, he has a book out. B, he followed me before I was following him, and he does like my political posts. So I told him, we don't have to necessarily talk about politics. We can talk about your book, and, you know, I think it's a memoir. So
I have been working on Do You Feel Like We're Screwed?
Yeah, that would be awesome. You should totally do that. Do you feel? I can't. You should edit that out.
Okay. Well.
No.
Yeah. You think there's going to be editing today? I don't think so. It's been a perfect show.
Now, when you guys are having sex in the refrigerator, does Bob ask you to do that?
He always does.
All right. From my Italian paisan, Mauro, he said, for all of you, how do you predict the Biden-Harris presidency will play out in the first part of 2021? Let's start with Jody Hamilton.
Sean? I think it depends on the Georgia runoff.
Yeah.
Completely. Yes.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, I mean, if we don't get those two seats,
We're coming through for you, girl. Hang in there.
I hope so. I mean, if we don't get those two seats, then his AG, which he's not going to say shit about his AG until January 6th, which is my dad's birthday, because he doesn't want to influence this. He's gone. It's okay. He would have been, let me carry the two. He would have been 92 next year.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
Next week. I think that if we get the Senate, then Biden and Harris can get a lot done. If we don't, then we're fucked. Mm-hmm.
Jesus. Oh, T-Rex.
What do you think, Legs?
David, what do you think? Oh, no. Yeah. Let's go with Sean. Sean Barton, what do you think?
Well, in the words of Edie McClure, you're fucked.
Oh, good. So hopeful.
Do you
you're
with
hopeful.
Me, Sean, like you usually do? Sean, do you agree with me? Like
I disagree with I agree with Jody on this one. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be make or break, and that's, again, that's just the
sad
part about all this. Yeah. Once again, it's, you know, it comes down to, you know, a handful of people, some votes, and a state.
Yep.
What do you think, David?
I think we're going to win these runoffs. I think that, I mean, just the energy here for the Democrats is so pumped. We're just, after winning, you know, turning the state blue in the national election, just we're like, we could do anything, you know, and we're like, we love to vote. Just call me Votey McVoteface. You know? I have voted 4 times this year. I voted in the Democratic primary. I voted in the national election. I voted in a local race for the DA. Won them all.
Wow.
So I'm hoping that I'm going for a 4-for-4 here. With Warnock and Ossoff.
Okay.
But I think the first few months, one thing we're going to see is that suddenly, after not giving a shit about COVID for 2 years or however long it's been in this weird hell state, that every single COVID death is going to be on Joe Biden, as far as the Republicans are concerned.
Yeah,
they're
gonna
blame him for any mistakes.
Absolutely.
And they're going to like keep shooting at their feet. But I think that the Republicans are going to be effectively neutralized for two years with Mitch McConnell as minority leader.
Yeah.
You know, the reason I think 21 is going to be a good year is because we're not going to take it.
I love you.
Are you going to work on that one?
We're not going to take it.
Perfect. I want to weigh in.
But,
I want to weigh in on
Kimberly,
this question. Yeah, I want to say that regardless of what happens in Georgia, and obviously I agree with everybody, but I think the one difference is we're going to be able to have a DOJ, a rebuilt DOJ, that even if we don't get the Senate, which I hope we do, even if we don't get it, we will repair that. And I think that that's, you know, again, with the COVID, I think we'll hit obstacles if we don't have the Senate. But I do think the way that COVID is handled will be better, and I think we're just going to see a much new and improved DOJ.
I agree.
Does not depend, though, on his pick, because if Mitch McConnell he's basically stated that I'm going to screw this shit up, and so if he picks somebody that Mitch McConnell can stall,
appoint?
No.
Oh,
they have to be approved.
Do
this
is interim
appointments
like Trump did.
Yeah. Acting, exactly.
That's what I mean.
Exactly. In fact, I've heard reports, seen reports that the Biden camp is fully prepared to use acting people because Trump has already set that precedent.
Yes.
Good.
And so it's not that we won't be crippled. I'd like to weigh in on this as well.
Yes.
I don't think we're helpless, and I think Kimberly hit on it. We're not helpless if we don't win the Senate, and I think we will. But we're not helpless even if that happens. I'm so tired of negativism among liberals, among progressives. And I understand where it comes from because we've gotten screwed many times over these past 4 years. So it's sort of a default response to anything that happens. I hope everybody opens their eyes and sees what's about to happen here. I think that even without the Senate, considerable things can be done through the Justice Department, as you said, Kimberly, and many other agencies. Mm-hmm. We can get a lot more done, like 70%, 90% more done if we get the Senate. And I agree with David that we will. The early turnout so far, a third of the state's voters have already cast their votes, and Republicans are worried. I also have
90,000 first-time voters on this runoff.
Wow.
And there you go. And I also read a report that says enthusiasm among young voters has not waned since the November election.
That's great.
That they are just as so there's a lot of reason to be optimistic there, and I hope we all learn to take a win for a win, because I think especially in the battle against COVID, we're going to start seeing wins.
Yes, we will.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
With the vaccine and everything.
And I think the people that believe in the shape-shifting lizard people can just stay home. They don't have to blow themselves up in vans.
Yeah, thank you. They don't have to be terrorists. Thank you.
I think there's a very real chance that the Republican Party is going to split in the coming year and a half, probably before the midterms. It's amazing to think that, but it is. Donald Trump right now is bifurcating the entire Republican Party, where he's going to take all of his Trump supporters, all of his red hats with him, and I don't know who's going to be left as part of the Republican Party, because
not many
because he's leading the way right now, just like
be Bill Kristol.
like a giant bloated Pied Piper. He's leading all his people out of the party by attacking.
They're already a minority party with minority voter support, and by splintering, there's no chance either one of those, either the Republican or Trump-Publican parties, can win anything. Is my belief.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but you know, you guys, it's so nice to hear this. It sounds like you're talking about Oz or something.
I know.
I'm in a county that went 77% for Trump, and that, by the way, is another reason I'm glad I stay home.
No kidding.
Well, but I was just gonna say, on the Debbie Downer side of things, we cannot forget liberals do have a tendency to fall back on, oh, well, we've got the Democratic president and that's all we need. And we did that with Obama. Both midterms went to the Republicans. So we have to be very, all of us who have.
But, you know, that I think that shows you that just how much people hate Trump.
Because,
you know, it's just really...
Nobody motivated voters, I think, more than Trump. But I think that we have to be very, very mindful about, you know, directing people to stay engaged, because people get really... Like, a lot of people, though, the problem is the people who are listening to us are already going to be voting. It's those people who don't really know what's going on. They don't know the details. They just know the overall picture. And what the overall picture is, okay, well, Biden won and that's all that matters. And then, no, it's not, but, you know.
For Kimberly to get her message out, she needs to go on Dancing with the Stars.
I agree.
Yeah, me too.
Bob's going to have to go too, because where are they going to find a tall enough partner?
And then we're going to need a refrigerator.
I know.
Well, on wheels.
Yeah. Well, even though he's little, I think Kimberly's going to team up with Nick Lutzko for Dancing with the Stars.
I think it's going to happen.
Well, I was just hitting the back of the head by something. Oh, his panties again.
Yes, my panties come up. And don't forget, the guy that originally got me going was Trump's lawyer,
Mark Kazowitz.
Mark Kazowitz, with his shiny lips.
Really into Mark Kazowitz. That was a strange thing.
I was not into him.
Okay, I have a question for Jody from Ethan's Belt, and he asks, what is the real name of the porno that was filmed at Jody's house? We talked about this recently.
No.
Sean, didn't you see it?
Squirters or something?
Sexy Squirters 2.
Yeah. Sexy Squirters 2. Oh, yeah.
Squirters. What? What? Wait a minute. I can't watch that because I didn't see the first one. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. So many unanswered questions.
Yeah.
Jody, so have you recarpeted?
Some of the ladies might have. No, it was shot outside.
It was outside. It was outside, wasn't it?
Yeah. Wow. Yes, it was shot outside. And but the funny story is, and David and Bob know this, and some of the listeners do. So we were shooting. It was in the middle of the summer, so
you
it was very.
Wait a minute! You were there?
We were here.
Oh my God!
Oh yeah, we were here.
So, I just cannot love you more.
I know. So Lonnie's friend and his wife were... it's so Hollywood. Basically, they had shot everywhere in Chatsworth already, so they needed place to shoot.
Right, and they got the location shooting done.
Exactly. So we were asked, and they were going to give us like $500. So it's like, sure. And so we closed all the drapes and shutters so that we wouldn't ruin a shot. But if you're ruining a shot in a porn, then people are not paying attention at the right stuff.
Yeah, right.
But regardless, so we closed all the windows. It was warm, so AC was on, and we closed all the windows. And we had them park their van up the driveway because our next-door neighbor's children were, like, 13 and 14, and it was during school. I'm like, please, when they get home, we really can't have them see anything. They're like, okay. So they start shooting, of course, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon because porn.
Shooting.
2 o'clock in the afternoon. Is that the porn time
squirting
in L.A.? Yeah. That's when all the porn... You have lunch at 1, and then all of the porn gets shot at 2.
The squirting happens at 2.
That's the rule.
Well, 2:10.
I am not catering this. I don't...
So
you can do porn on a full
stomach? It was during the weeks, right? And so I'm at home. I was home from work, and I was watching on the VHS tape of All My Children, and because I taped it. And so I turn on the All My Children, and Lonnie's watching with me because he liked to make fun of this one actor, and who's a really good actor, by the way. But anyway, so we're watching the TV, and now remember, all of our windows are closed, everything's closed, and I hear this, and I'm like, no.
Okay, now you're lifting that, Bob.
That's it. And I look at Lonnie and I said,
oh, I didn't think of the sound because I never believed any sound in porn in my life because it never looks right.
Right, squirters, not screamers.
Exactly. And it was all women. There was no dudes. It was just chicks. And so Lonnie goes out and he says, can you guys kind of, you know, indoor voice? So it happens a few more times.
Poor Lonnie.
And so finally they finish, and one of the girls who literally is wearing a squirt soda shirt. Like, not kidding.
Oh, God, really? Oh,
my
God.
Womp. Kidding.
Yeah, okay.
And so she comes, and she's like, I'm so sorry, but when I squirt, I just can't help but yell.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Wow. Lonnie was high-fived for weeks after that. They didn't know what was going on. They just thought it was me. So,
oh, wow.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Great story.
So thank you, Jody. Right. That's always my favorite story. My favorite Jody Hamilton story.
You didn't get a, I cannot work with this man.
We didn't get any yelling going, you're in my eye line either. Oh, my God. We're fine.
All right, last question before we wrap up here. Will we be treated? There's lots of music questions here on the Ask Us Anything. Will we be treated to a T-Rex Jody Hamilton duet in 2021? Wow. Happy New Year from Damien in York, Pennsylvania. So,
well, Sean, what do you think?
Yes, she will.
Yeah, he's working on his squirting. He's working agent now.
Now he's on his squirting song now.
Now there's a bidding war between Mike and David.
What do you think, David?
Oh, I would love that.
I would too.
Yeah, I'm 100% in.
Cool. Excellent.
I think we should cover End of the World. That don't they know it's the end of the world?
Sure.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Just Mike and David said. Then. Mm-hmm. Just there they go.
I resolved to do a Sidney Powell song.
Oh.
Oh yeah, that'll be great. And you know, Lynn Wood is kind of nuts right now.
That's did a
you
porn see the?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, Lynn Wood is absolutely a porn name, no doubt about
it
that.
Is.
But he is. You know who Lynn Wood is? Lynn Wood is like one of the first Trump cosplayers. He actually goes out when he does public speaking. He dresses up like Donald Trump. He's got the hair and the MAGA hat and the wool trench coat and the red tie and all the rest of it. He actually dresses up like Donald Trump. And he said here on Twitter today, I am fully aware of the onslaught of attacks being made against me based on my revelations about Chief Justice John Roberts. Before attacking me, maybe fair-minded people would first ask Roberts to tell the truth or ask Jeffrey Epstein. He is alive. Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, God.
So John Roberts is engaged in some sort of...
Somebody get the net.
Right.
Pedophilia, I believe, he's being accused of.
Yes.
Unbelievable. Yeah. Like, what is Justice Roberts thinking right now?
Yeah,
I mean, I'm not his friend or anything, but still, it's like, can you imagine what he's thinking?
Yeah. Right. Oh, and by the way, Goth Ninjas, we had a Jetpacks Made of Beef this week. And there are many, but there was one that stood out. As yet, we always talk about this in terms of things that Donald Trump just makes up entirely, like things that have no bearing on reality whatsoever. So in other words, if Donald Trump said, I'm going to give every man, woman, and child in the United States a jetpack made of beef, all his supporters would go, yay, we're getting jetpacks made of beef, finally. And they would celebrate their jetpack. But of course, it's not true. It doesn't matter, though, because they'll believe it anyway. So the new jetpacks made of beef is that Trump won the Nobel Peace Prize.
Yes.
Right. Oh, I saw that.
Yeah. He released another one of those videos. I think it was right before Christmas. He released another campaign style video. And one of the things was he showed, like, he was doing the editing. He didn't show anything. But in the video, there's a scene of him with the leaders of Israel and the leaders of
Saudi Arabia.
Dubai, is it? Yeah. Yeah.
UAE.
Right, and then they superimposed over top of it the Nobel Peace Prize, the actual medal.
No. The Nobel Prize that they showed was for science and math.
Even better.
Yeah.
Even better.
Holy shit.
It wasn't even the Peace Prize. It was like, where chemistry and math? Yeah. What the hell? Yeah.
I mean, well, so this this is one of the things I'm going to be following into 2021 and beyond, which is just the complete disconnect, the furthering of the American idiocracy in this country, where there are so many so many immensely gullible people who will believe anything they're told by these creeps and weirdos in the Republican Party, especially Donald Trump, especially all the Donald Trump copycats are going to come after them. So that's going to be one of the things I think we're going to end up talking about quite a bit.
The best ways to do that are by advocating for a free press and for better education.
Yes, indeed.
Amen.
Yep. All right.
Here, here.
You know, I don't see a single exterior scene on Super Squirters 2. I'm wondering if maybe you ended up on the cutting room floor.
Well, this explains
among other things.
Yeah. This explains the bandwidth problem.
That's right. Mike, your incognito tab is getting a workout today.
Well, I'm glad something is.
Okay, well, I think that's gonna wrap it up. We're saying our big F you to 2020, and I can't thank you all enough. Every single one of you, thank you so much. And I'm talking about the people who are on the show right now. Thank you so much for being part of this show. I could not do this without any of you. I mean, it's just an immense privilege to be able to do this Tuesday with Buzz, Thursday with Jody and T-Rex, Fridays with Kimberly. Of course, Mike, all of your contributions to the show.
And
I couldn't be more grateful. Legs, of course, who this is the first time I've...
Thanks to Stephanie Miller for making us all know each other.
Stephanie Miller is the center. She is the center of the Stephanie Miller Extended Cinematic Universe. And we couldn't be more grateful to her for bringing us all together.
She did.
I don't know if she's still there, but
she's 40 miles down the road from me, and I didn't say hi or anything. So.
Well, you know, no, she's. I think she's home.
What's 40 miles from North Carolina? I'm 40 miles from North Carolina.
Her mom is 40 miles from me. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, look out!
Gotcha.
Now, Mike, David's going to be showing up at your door with an acoustic guitar.
By the way, Jody, I wanted to thank you for the lovely Christmas card that you sent.
But
I have two questions. How did you get my address, and why are you stalking?
I got your address when the Omaha Steaks thing was going on.
Ah.
And we all had the same thing that we had to fill out, and Bob put your address in there.
Did I?
Yes, you did.
So, okay.
Thank you, Bob.
It's all Bob's fault.
So Bob knows.
I don't remember any of this. So.
He's tweeting your address out right now.
Bob has been named in the restraining order.
Well, I'm so glad that all of you allow me to hang out with the cool kids. I'm very grateful for that.
You are the cool kid, Bob.
And we're all, of course, I think I can speak for everybody when I say how grateful we are for Bob.
Yep. Yes. Oh, we're all squirting for you, Bob.
Oh, everyone's squirting for me. I couldn't be more proud to get all of this.
Yeah, if we're going to talk about good things from 2020, I'm really happy that everybody here made it through and that nobody's sick.
Yes.
And that we are all together, and thank God for y'all.
What about Jody? Do you have any final thoughts as we wrap up for the year?
Well, I just know that Sean has been interviewing for the Monday Bob Seska show.
Oh, man. Coming in 2021. No, it's not.
2021. No. I thank you guys so much for letting me play in your sandbox. So, and thanks, obviously, to Stephanie. And I love all you guys. Yeah. Even Sean.
Oh. Yeah, Sean. What about you, Sean Barton, who I've never talked to until today?
Just grateful to be here. Just grateful to be here, and thank you for having me on your show.
Keep up the great work on the From the Bunker podcast, sexylittle.com,
Don't forget me. I get to say goodbye.
Kimberly. Well, I'm not done yet.
I thought you were ending the show.
Take it. No, I'm not done yet.
I thought my squirting comment was the was the last thing I was going to say.
I'm turning off your microphone now.
No, can we get that sound again, Jody, in the clear?
It's Bob Seska's New York squirtin' Eve.
Oh, man.
Make it a tradition.
Oh, man.
That's the title of the show.
I'm tempted to make that
that's
the title
really
of the show.
Do it.
Okay.
Do it.
Do it.
Okay, Kimberly?
And I just feel the same. I'm grateful to know all of you. You guys are so funny and smart and interesting, and you enrich my life, and I'm so grateful just to be a part of it. And I'm also very thankful for all the listeners and everybody who keeps us going, because you guys are everything.
Thank you, listeners. Thank you, Patreon supporters.
And happy 2021.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Yes. And I want to say to our Patreon subscribers, not only will I try to jump in and answer the rest of your questions in the comments, but I can't thank you enough for making this possible. I come in here and I talk and I get all my friends together to do the show, but we wouldn't be talking to anybody except ourselves if it wasn't for everyone on Patreon, everyone who listens on all of the other podcast platforms. Thank you. A thousand million thank yous.
Yes, from all of us.
Yes. Thank you.
Okay, that's
it. Let's never, ever do this year again.
No, never again.
But let's do this show again.
Yeah, we can do that.
All right, folks, have a good one, and we'll see you in 2021.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for having me.
Bye-bye.
Love you guys. Everybody be good. Happy New Year.